"What, raining frogs and similar?" said Shadwell, brightening up a bit.
"No, it just has normal weather for the time of year."
"Call that a phenomena?" said Shadwell. "I've seen phenomenas that would make an air curl, laddie." He started tapping again.
"When do you remember normal weather for the time of year?" said Newt, slightly annoyed. "Normal weather for the time of year isn't normal, Sergeant. It has snow at Christmas. When did you last see snow at Christmas? And long hot Augusts, every year, and crisp autumns. The kind of weather you used to dream of as a kid. It never rained on November the 5th and always snowed on Christmas Eve."
Shadwell's eyes looked unfocused. He paused with the condensed milk tin halfway to his lips. "I never used to dream when I was a kid," he said quietly. Newt was aware of skidding around the lip of some deep, unpleasant pit. He mentally backed away.
"It's just very odd," he said. "There's a weatherman here talking about averages and norms and microclimates and things like that."
"What's that mean?" said Shadwell.
"Means he doesn't know why," said Newt, who hadn't spent years on the literal of business without picking up a thing or two.
He looked sidelong at the witchfinder sergeant.
"Witches are well known for affecting the weather," he prompted. "I looked it up in the Discovery."
"Oh, God," he thought, "or other suitable entity, don't let me spend another evening cutting newspapers to bits in this ashtray of a room. Let me get out in the fresh air. Let me do whatever is the WA's equivalent of going water skiing in Germany."
"It's only 40 miles away," he said tentatively. "I thought I could just sort of nip over there tomorrow and have a look around, you know. I'll pay my own petrol," he added.
Shadwell wiped his upper lip thoughtfully. "This place," he said, "it wouldn't be called Tadfield, would it?"
"That's right, Mr. Shadwell," said Newt. "How did you know that?"
"I wonder what the Southerners is playing up new," said Shadwell under his breath.
"Well,"
he said out loud, "and why not?"
"Who'll be playing, Sergeant?" said Newt.
Shadwell ignored him. "Aye, I suppose it can't do any harm. You'll pay your own petrol, you see." Newt nodded. "Then you'll come here at 9 o'clock in the morning," he said, "afore you go."
"What for?" said Newt.
"Your armour of righteousness." Just after Newt had left, the phone rang again. This time it was Crowley, who gave approximately the same instructions as Aziraphale. Shadwell took them down again for form's sake, while Madam Tracy hovered delightedly behind him.
2 calls in one day, Mr. Shadwell," she said. "Your little army must be marching away like anything."
"Ach, a wowie, you murrain plushed barazine," muttered Shadwell and slammed the door. Tadfield, he thought. "Och, weel, so long as they paid up on time." Neither Aziraphale or Crowley ran the Witchfinder army, but they both approved of it, or at least knew that it would be approved of by their superiors. So it appeared on the list of Aziraphale's agencies because it was, well, a Witchfinder army, and you had to support anyone calling themselves Witchfinders in the same way that the USA had to support anyone calling themselves anti-communist. And it appeared on Crowley's list for the slightly more sophisticated reason that people like Shadwell did the cause of hell no harm at all. Quite the reverse, it was felt. Strictly speaking, Shadwell didn't run the WA either. According to Shadwell's pay ledgers, it was run by Witchfinder General Smith. Under him were Witchfinder Colonels Green and Jones, and Witchfinder Majors Jackson, Robinson and Smith, no relation. Then there were Witchfinder Majors Saucepan, Tin, Milk and Cupboard, because Shadwell's limited imagination had been beginning to struggle at this point, and Witchfinder Captains Smith, 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 and Smythe and Ditto, and 500 Witchfinder Privates and Corporals and Sergeants. Many of them were called Smith, but this didn't matter because neither Crowley nor Aziraphale had ever bothered to read that far. They simply handed over the pay. After all, both lots put together only came to around £60 a year. Shadwell didn't consider this in any way criminal. The army was a sacred trust, and a man had to do something. The old ninepences weren't coming in like they used to. Saturday. It was very early on Saturday morning, on the last day of the world, and the sky was redder than blood. The International Express delivery man rounded the corner at a careful 35 miles an hour, shifted down to second, and pulled up on a grass verge. He got out of the van and immediately threw himself into a ditch to avoid an oncoming lorry that had barreled around the bend at something well in excess of 80 miles an hour. He got up, picked up his glasses and put them back on, retrieved his parcel and clipboard, brushed the grass and mud from his uniform, and, as an afterthought, shook his fist at